Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
This is interesting. James Murdoch, the son of Rupert Murdoch, was interviewed by the folks at The Guardian. And he has condemned U.S. media for propagating lies, which he said has unleashed insidious and uncontrollable forces that he says are going to endure for years. He said there's got to be a media reckoning. He said that the damage is profound. He said that the sacking of the Capitol was proof positive that what we thought was dangerous is indeed very much so. Those outlets that propagated lies to their audience have unleashed what he called insidious and uncontrollable forces, adding that that they're going to be here a while. Wouldn't directly say it was Fox News's fault, however, but you got to imagine that that is part of it. So the fact that he even brings this up, pretty amazing stuff. Anyway, here to share some thoughts on, well, the big inauguration just a day and a half away. Cannot wait. I've asked our good friend Bob Ney to come talk with us, former congressman and political analyst. Bob, thanks for taking time for us.
Thank you.
So I'm looking at this statement by James Murdoch. Is he wrong?
Well, I think obviously that people were, coming to the realization that the media kept the hype going, and of course Fox News is going to come under the gun for this. Now, is anybody going to do anything about it, or something happen, or how can you do something about it? Fox News would say, well, we had the right to report the news. What was questioned, we had the right to comment on it. We didn't tell anybody to storm the Capitol is probably what their answer is going to be.
Yeah. Now, you could make the argument that there isn't a balance on the other side or we've got these ideological networks now, and I hear people telling, we need to go back to the fairness doctrine, and you're not putting that genie back in the bottle.
Well, yeah, and also it's just like there comes a point. I've really been trying to think about this, in a fair manner. I don't know where personally, I'm going on this yet, but there does come a certain point, too. You might get what you don't want, where, they want certain censorship people do of Facebook or whatever, and then all of a sudden Facebook turns on them. I don't know how that's all regulated. Both sides will claim that, Facebook is treating them unfair, for example. It happens. I just don't know if you tell Zuckerberg, you meaning the government, tell Zuckerberg, you've got to monitor this, all these things. What does he monitor, and how does he choose to monitor? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, you can easily put, things into those searches and just blanket, eliminate everything. And you're right. It could be, and this is where I do have some problem with banning Trump a very little bit. But, he has been violating their terms of service for years now. I mean, this was coming.
Also dictators did, the Iranians have a Twitter account. And then I'm looking at that. I'm like, okay, they didn't move on them when they said all kinds of things. But then again, do you really move on them? I don't know. It's one that, Rick, I don't have an answer to it. I just think we have to be careful of how much power we give to these platforms or force them to regulate, in general, free speech. So I think there's a, cautionary point. And some of this, too, when we're attempting to, purify everything, and I understand, Trump said, go get the vice president of the United States, he can stop it, But then again, there's a bill introduced that no one can name anything after Trump. Well, okay, it's for certain things, it's time to get to other issues. I'm not sure you can do that. There's just a stopping point, no matter how upset people get. So
yeah, I think there are a lot of restroom bathrooms that need to be renamed.
I figured you'd say that, actually.
Not against slapping his name on some things.
or something that's not gaudy could be renamed.
There you go.
That would infuriate them.
No, I think once he's gone, I do believe that if he does go away, and maybe we don't hear from him for a while, maybe Twitter keeps him off, and the other media kind of stays away, and he doesn't garner the kind of dominance in our daily lives that he's enjoyed for the last 5.5 years, I think maybe some of this taps down, and we can begin having those conversations of how we wake up from these 4 years and move forward as a country.
Because I think that I'm going to be curious to see what Biden says in his inaugural address. He's going to have to refer to some things. But after that point in time, it would not behoove Biden himself, the president,
right,
to engage Trump. It won't. I would be shocked if Biden would do that.
And he hasn't done it to this point, so what makes you think he's going to start?
Yeah. I don't think. Well, there's people that are saying he should come out and say this and say that. He said, certain things. Up to this point, I just don't think after that he's going to be lured, no matter what happens, lured into some, debate with Trump.
No, I sure hope that doesn't happen because, if I'm advising him, my thought is put all the noise aside. Hey, we don't have time for that. The messaging that I'm focusing on is we don't have time for all that. We've got pandemic to beat. We've got an economy that's in tatters. We've got infrastructure that needs to be rebuilt. We've got actual work to do. I don't have time to entertain you. We got to get to work. That's where I think if he goes with his inauguration, I will be thrilled.
Right. And there's another aspect of this, time will tell. Will non-President Trump make a news network? If that happens, that's a whole different deal. What would he say on there? Would he incite anybody? That's a whole other argument and another issue if that happens. It may not happen now because I think New York State's going to keep them so busy that may not happen in itself.
Yeah, and I see that there's this this Ricketts guy who is the guy who was the founder of TD America, or TD America Trading Company. His son's the governor of Nebraska, I believe it is. He's now starting a news network. Joe Ricketts is his name. He's starting what he's going to call Straight Arrow News, and it's going to be right down the middle. There's going to be no ideology. It's only going to be news.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, he had the Chicago Cubs baseball team, and he had a company. I don't know if it's still active. It was American Film. Do you know if that's still active or not? I don't know.
I don't.
Okay. Right.
But I'm thinking, here's a guy who says he sees a market and a thirst for straight down the middle news. No ideology. No pontificating. No bloviating. Just Joe Friday. Just the facts, ma'am.
Well, if that's coming from Ricketts, he was the one who. I think it was after the Obama citizenship theory. So maybe he's changed the pace. I don't know. I doubt it.
Or maybe we're just dressing it up as straight down the middle and again coming out with another OAN or another one of these Newsmax kind of scenarios who keep claiming that they're right down the middle.
It's called fair and balanced.
Yeah. again, more deception and more of that craziness. But for me, again, it comes back down to getting stuff done. And one of the areas that I'm really excited about is the fact that we're going to get a new labor secretary. Eugene Scalia will be gone. I'll be happy when that happens. And then now the mayor of Boston, this Marty Walsh, who I actually think is not a bad choice.
Right. Marty Walsh, which, as you point out, is the mayor of Boston, he's had labor positions. He's been a laborer since, like, the age of 20 or so, Rick, which I'm sure you know. And he also has served as a union president in the past. I'm not sure what age he became union president, but he was head of the building trades, of the...
Yeah, he was a laborer's president.
Right. He was a laborer's rep. And then he became president of the building trades. And he served in the House of Representatives also in Massachusetts back in the late 90s. So, he's had that experience, which is very interesting, not just, labor leader, but also served in the state house, and then of course became mayor. I think on when it comes to labor issues, I don't think you can get much better than he is. And also, I wanted to give something to his credit because I've been down the same path. But he is in recovery. He has about 20 years of continuous sobriety in a 12-step program. So I did want to mention that.
And I look at that as something that he's overcome, and hopefully going to give him a different perspective, so that maybe he's going to look out for the little guy.
Right. So I mean, when you look at that, his service to the his recovery, his service in the legislature, young, entering into the union, been head of the union, mayor. I think this guy's got all the right criteria, and of course he will be looking at reforming decades of labor issues when it comes to the lawmaking part of it.
Yeah. Now, I had been hoping for Sarah Nelson, the president of the flight attendants union. That was never going to happen, but I was hoping for it. Would have loved to have seen that.
Right.
But he's a good choice, I think. So the question I've got for you, how much is he going to be able to do, given the fact that the NLRB isn't going to turn over fast enough, that I don't think Joe Biden is going to fire the guy on the NLRB, although I would love to see nothing more than that. How much power is the labor secretary going to have in getting things done?
I mean, he'll be influential. I agree with you. I don't think things can be done overnight. You never know what will happen on a shakeup of the labor National Labor Relations Board. You never know. So at least he's a voice in there that is going to be a strong voice, which is what you need. Otherwise, it's just going to go par for course. Exerting pressure is the only way to change this, and then of course lawmaking on top of it.
No, I want them to fire Peter Robb on day one. He's the National Labor Relations General Counsel. I'd like to see him out the door on day one, because the decisions that they've come out with over the last couple of years have just been horrible. Basically, it's every one of the Chamber of Commerce's wet dream list that Trump was able and the NLRB was able to give them. So there's a lot of cleaning up to do, in my view.
Well, and also, we are entering, as you know very well, a brand new era when it comes to labor rulings and safety and the pandemic. This is uncharted territory now.
No, I'm great. I'm hopeful. So, let me ask you this, because a lot of people saying that, there's a lot of legislative ideas. Labor wants to get the PRO Act passed. They want this big, this big stimulus bill, this big, what they're calling a recovery package. I would say it's just kind of a sustaining to get through this kind of package. But, there's a lot of big kind of legislation on the front. Do you see any of it passing?
Well, if we look at I'm doing a lot of ifs here. I see it, of course. I can see it in the House. I'm not going to say, quote, completely, easily, but I can see it in the House. I think the big question will be, as usual, what will the Senate do? It's a 50-50 Senate. Now we know how Harris will break the tie, the vice president, but what about members holding together when it comes to, supporting any labor initiative that Schumer has? That's yet to be seen.
Yeah.
All it's going to take is a couple members going the other direction. Of course, if you have a couple Republicans that they could garner, then it would be doable.
Any chance they chuck the filibuster?
Well, I mean, I would hope so. Here's the kind of hypocrisy of the filibuster and closure. First of all, I separate them out, but they filibuster and then they have to have the 60 votes for closure. And I've never agreed with that anyway. It's that would be like the House saying every time you want to come to a vote, you don't need 218 members. You need 240. I mean, it's just ridiculous. But each side, when they get in power, then they want the filibuster done away with, But when they're not in power, they don't want it done away with. Comes a point in time it needs to be done away with. And if they could make the move now and actually go back to a simple majority when it comes to bringing something to the floor, the Senate would be a much, much better place.
Yeah, I agree. But we were told, you know, because we learned in eighth grade, you know, government class, you know, the Senate is the upper chamber for a reason, and they're to tap down the passion so we don't have radical swings in legislation and in ideology. So it's supposed to be slow and deliberate, which is why we need those things to protect us from ourselves. Don't you know?
Well, when I was in the House, on a bipartisan basis, when I was in the House, we used to say that, you know, the Founding Fathers created a great democracy, and we have the U.S. House, and somebody just had to mess it up with the Senate. Yeah, when we allowed them to be elected.
Yeah, there you go. You know, last question I've got for you. You know, coming out of the inauguration, you know there's going to be the calls for unity. How effective do you think that's going to be, or are you expecting much of that?
You mean by President Biden?
Yes. I mean, it's obligatory. He's got to say, "Hey, we're going to reach out to the other side. We want to be, you know, the big tent and all that." I think the people that, you know, he's reaching out to those are deaf ears. But I'm curious your thoughts of what he's going to say and maybe how it's received.
Well, he's going to say, because I mean, as a leader, he has to temper everything down. We need a breath. You know, we need to be able to breathe. The internal war needs to stop, and somebody's got to at least express that. And I think that's the best thing that Joe Biden can do. He can also reach out to the other side. He served in the Senate. Let's say that he garnishes three or four people on the R side, and things start to, you know, come together for some from bipartisan purpose. That's great. If not, then he has to have his agenda and the Speaker and Chuck Schumer, and they have to go after it. If there's no willingness, then they have to go after what they want.
Right.
Not just sit and say, "Well, we'll wait till, you know, we get three more people." So he can start the effort. I think Biden will be genuine in it. I really do.
No, I do too.
I think he'll be very genuine. And I served in Congress 11 years. Biden was there. He was the go-to guy if you wanted to have anybody, you know, have an ear, his staff, to listen. So I think he'll be genuine in it. But if there's no reciprocity, then he's going to, you know, have to move with unison of his own party to get things done.
Yeah, going to be interesting to see what comes out Wednesday and how it's received. But as
always, sure,
Bob, I appreciate the time. Good talking with you.
You too, Rick. Thank you.
Our good friend Bob Ney, former Ohio congressman, political analyst, you know, one of those guys who I value the thoughts and the opinions. Let's wrap tonight up with those Trumpkins. According to the Center for Countering Digital Hate, this is a UK-based advocacy group. Their job is to fight misinformation. I love the name, Countering Digital Hate. They have pointed out that thanks to Donald Trump and the Trump administration, there are five very prominent, this is what they were able to find out, five very prominent anti-vaccine groups that got bailed out during the pandemic. So about almost $1 million of money went to funding these five groups: the National Vaccine Information Center, Mercola.com Health Resources, Informed Consent Action Network, Children's Health Defense, and the Tenpenny Integrative Medical Center. All of them pushing the anti-vax narrative. We just gave them a boatload of money to tell people don't do it so that we can make the pandemic longer. And I guess you could argue more profitable for somebody, especially the folks at the very top who are doing wildly well. Again, you know, our heavy 400-500 at the top, our billionaire class, enriched themselves to the tune of over $1 trillion since the beginning of the pandemic. This is what we do with money. We bail out the people who are going to actually make things worse. That doesn't seem all that bright to me. But then again, look, the Ayn Rand Center ended up getting money from the PPP program, the Paycheck Protection Program, to keep their people on staff. And these are the people who are supposed to hate government. So quite interesting times we do live in, indeed. But I'm ticking down the days almost like a kid to Christmas. another full day and a half until we get a new president, and I cannot wait. Looking forward to hearing Joe Biden's inauguration speech. I'd love to hear your thoughts. You can email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com. If you missed any of today's program, thericksmithshow.com. That's where you go to get the podcast, The Rick Smith Show app on the smartphone. Take the program on the go wherever you go. It's going to be a great week. I'm looking forward to it. We'll see you back here next week.
You've been listening to The Rick Smith Show. Email Rick. Email Rick at rick@thericksmithshow.com. Until next time, this has been The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.